Pig Miller into the game.
I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did.
22nd timeout with the Lakers.
I thought the pig would win the Oscar.
111-89.
You ever see the Oscar?
Be quiet.
All right, it is 9:36 p.m. on Sunday, May 19th, 2024. Oh, May 19th, the cane number. And this is basketball this week, done quickly. I'll never forget that. Never forget that, May 19th. Well, all right. If I don't edit any news into this, then nothing major happened in the last 3 days. So I'm just so excited about basketball right now, and so excited about the games that we just saw yesterday and today that I just wanted to get into it, because there's not going to be a game on Monday, so I figured we can get a fresh start with the second round of the series in the next episode, or sorry, the third round of the playoffs and in the conference finals and in the next episode, and just use this one for the second round. So yeah, I edited this out if news happened between now and then, but I don't think there will. Let's get into it. Let's do playoff react, because I'm excited. Let's start with the game yesterday and then we'll go from there. Wow, that was a pretty heartbreaking loss if you're a Thunder fan, for sure. It was the one game where the Thunder looked like the better team offensively, or at least like the Thunder looked like a competent offensive team. Unfortunately, in the second half, they kind of went back to who they were, and the Mavs just kind of got them from behind. And it's a pretty big bummer too, because SGA is a 90% free throw shooter, and they lost by 2 points, and he missed three free throws. Words hard. He missed three of them though, and they lost by two. So that's, you never want to be in a situation like that where like you have just like this amazing free throw shooter miss them. And it was the first half. He had all the clutch ones. It just, they all count. It's just rough. Because that was probably the only game since game one where I thought the Thunder were actually outplayed them, and it's rough to lose it like that. But give credit to the Mavs, like their defense was pretty good in game six. They at least managed to kind of hold the line enough in game six in the second half. Things definitely kind of it was good enough in the second half. It definitely kind of tightened up at the end, and that's why it looked like the Thunder were probably going to win anyway. But the Mavs were quite good offensively in the second half of that game, and also Derek Lively got like every rebound possible. Now, were a lot of those rebounds fouls that should have been called? Yes. But, you know, it is the playoffs, and that happens sometimes. That's pretty common. There are a lot of reffing crews that call the games like that. I don't necessarily love it. I don't think it's super fair, but it's one of those things, like I always say, the refs are just like the weather, and sometimes the weather is you're going to be Chet and you're going to get thrown out of the way for the rebounds, even if you have the better position. So sucks. It sucks if you're a fan of the Thunder, for sure, but not that weird, but still, I guess the better team, at least the better team right now, won the series. I'm pretty hopeful about the Thunder going forward, though. I don't have like these weird, like the weird backlash to the Thunder is quite sad. Like the jealousy and all that shit, like coming from like people being directed at a team that hasn't won anything yet. That's really weird to me. Like, I get having a backlash to the championship team. Like, you just watch a team get a championship, you're going to be mad. I get it. It makes sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me to hate on a team that hasn't even got anywhere yet. So screw those people. The Thunder have a bright future. They have plenty of picks to change things up if need be. I don't necessarily know if there's a player out there right now who changes up that much for them. Like, obviously they're not going to want Trae Young just because they are a defense-focused team. And I don't think DeJounte Murray or Garland would be super great next to SGA just because how much those two players need the ball in their hands to function. So, yeah, I'm kind of looking towards looking towards them making moves, but not quite sure what those moves are. But still, I'm still pretty bright on their future. All right, then we had Knicks versus Pacers. Man, it wasn't quite as ugly as Game 6 for the Knicks. Like, Knicks kept it a little bit closer, but that thing was over by halftime. Like, it really was. Like, the Knicks just didn't have any anything left in the tank. And then when Brunson fractured his hand halfway through the third, like, you know, it was super over. But good on Burks and Alec Burks for, you know, fighting hard and keeping that game close. It was an admirable effort, but just wasn't quite. The Knicks just didn't have anything left. They were playing seven guys on like 11 guys. So, yeah, just it makes sense. I'm glad the Pacers didn't take their foot off the gas. I'm proud of them for that, just because we've seen it happen so many times this year. They stayed composed and they kept playing hard right up to the end. It was pretty cool. It's good to see a team grow right before your eyes. So good on the Pacers. Should be interesting next round. Obviously for the Knicks, they have quite a lot of flexibility because of their picks and stuff. But again, we're kind of in a situation where what's out there, you know. I know a lot of Knicks fans are pretty keen on moving Julius Randle, and that might just have to happen, like, just because you don't know how happy Julius Randle is. He's always kind of hard to keep happy. So with that in mind, they may have to move him. But I like the guy. I shouldn't. It sounds like I'm being down on him. I like Julius Randle a lot. He's like a top five favorite player for me. So if it sounds like I'm insulting him, I mean, I guess I am insulting him technically. But he's one of my five favorite players playing in the league right now. So even being harsh on him, you know, I still really respect Julius Randle a lot. Even if I'm clowning on him a little bit, but from what I hear, he may not be too happy in New York, so that might be kind of where they pivot from there. But and like I said earlier, there's not a ton out there, but the Knicks are at least in a decent spot if they decide to make a move, and if they bring everybody back, they just need to find a way to be healthy at the end. And I think a lot of people trying to pin it on Tibbs, they're just kind of, I don't necessarily trust these people just because they always say that stuff. Even though, like, there's never any evidence or proof that they're right, they always kind of say that stuff. But and like, none of the injuries the Knicks had were really load injuries, except for maybe OG's injury could have been a load injury, but, you know, he's also not been doing it the whole year like everyone else. So who knows? I always think, though, that playing heavy minutes for guys like in their 20s and even mid-30s is, or early 30s at least, is probably fine. Once you get to the mid-30s, then guys start to need their minutes managed a bit more. Or once guys have had major injuries, you know, they need to have those minutes managed more. But that's not really the Knicks. So it's kind of a non-story to me. Anyway, congrats to the Pacers. I'm very proud of how they played and their composure and their defense. They played really good defense in this one. Good on them. Good on the Pacers. And, of course, we had Nuggets, Timberwolves. Nuggets. Nuggets. Words are hard. That was a pretty great game. Definitely somewhere in the top 20 of Game 7s. I don't know where. I don't have them ranked, but it was a good Game 7. It lived up to the Game 7 hype. It sure didn't look like it. And maybe like the first quarter and a half, it looked like the Timberwolves were dead in the water and about to go down 30. You know, that's where it looked like it was trending. The only person scoring was Towns. But man, the Timberwolves just blitzed them in the second half. They just absolutely blitzed them. A lot of that was, you know, some great offensive play by Towns, some great defensive play, even though He could not stop fouling by Towns. And, like, Gobert, you know, like I said, I was heavily critical of his defense in game five just because, like, people were so over the top of it. But it was much better in game six, and it was also good in game seven. It was good in game seven, and his offense was better tonight, which is kind of the amazing thing. Like some of the shots that Rudy was taking and making were very impressive stuff. It was a very Patrick Ewing performance by Rudy Gobert. If we're gonna call Jokic Hakeem, Rudy Gobert was Pat Ewing today. Just a huge wide body and like the offense that looked a lot prettier than you would expect somebody of that size and shape to have, and just like the really solid defense. So yeah, good on the Timberwolves for making that comeback. Naz Reid was can't not mention Naz Reid because. It really did look like the Nuggets were going to pull their tricks again and steal that one. And Naz Reid just said, nah. he just said, nah. And he kept the Timberwolves' head above water. And then Towns, fittingly, since he was the guy who kept the Timberwolves in it in the first half, him finishing with that dunk was pretty amazing. And I got no sympathy to Jokic, who was mad at the showboating the Timberwolves did at the end there. I had no sympathy for him. This is a man who had his two brothers in the stands threatening to fight fans in literally every city, in literally every playoff game in the playoffs last year. Like threatening fans for cheering for their team they cheered for in their city. And, like, they were like, okay, it wasn't Jokic himself, but, like... When you got somebody doing that for you, when you got somebody like just making it like a hostile environment for the fans of the team who are actually there, you can't get mad at somebody doing a little taunting back at you. Like, you just can't. To me, that's just even. You're just even now. That's just how it is, you know. I don't like either. I think if you said, oh, which do you like? I say neither. But if you do one, you can't be mad about the other, you know. Yeah, so the Nuggets, you know, it's really hard to repeat, and there are people who are like clowning on them for saying they're tired, but to me that's just like nonsense. Like this is what happened. Like, if you play this deep, you get tired. I get it. I think it's a valid excuse on their part. And like, it's just it's hard to repeat. It just, like, there's so people don't get any nights off as the defending champs the whole year. And they definitely had people going at them the whole entire time. So it makes sense to me. Going forward, they need to find a bench. Like, it's just like Jokic was dog tired at the end of that one. So they just have to find a way to just find some way to get this guy to be able to sit for a few minutes. Obviously DeAndre Jordan isn't the answer there, but, who knows what the answer is. Malone lost all trust in his bench as the playoffs went around. Maybe that was justified, but it was justified for sure. But there just has to be a way to get to have like even something close to a normal bench. Because Jokic playing 41 minutes is not realistic. It's just not. And, like, yeah, Murray is going to have some cold nights sometimes. MPJ is going to have some cold nights sometimes. You need to have somebody else be able to come in and create. You need that, like, that third punch from somewhere. And, like, Denver just didn't have it. And Murray was bad in the second half of this game. Don't let that first half fool you. He was bad in the second half of this game. And as amazing as Jokic is, when Murray is bad, like, he's just a normal guy. No, that's a little bit too far. That's a little bit too much of an insult. He's not just a normal guy, but he's like Jokic is like, when Murray is playing well, Jokic is like a top, like, it makes sense when people are like trying to say like Jokic is like a top all-time player when Murray is playing well. But when Murray's not playing well, he just kind of looks like a pretty good player. Pretty good. Pretty great. I'll say great. He looks like a great player some when Murray isn't playing well, but he doesn't look like that next, that superstar, you know? He doesn't quite look like that when Murray or the rest of the Denver team aren't playing well. He needs that pressure always. But hey, yes, this is true of every great player who's ever played. I'm not like dogging him or saying he's not great or not an all-time great. Like there isn't, maybe except Akeem, maybe except Wilt. Maybe except Kareem. They always had something else, you know. Everyone else always had someone else helping them through. So it's not a big slam on Jokic. In fact, it just shows he's a normal human being, which to me is fine. It's fine to be a normal human being. A very great super human being. Nuggets future going forward, it does look a little rough just because they are like staring down some cap hell if they do bring back KCP, because KCP is he has a player option, but he can opt out because he can get better than the MLE on the market, and like I think that's there for him. I think somebody would pay KCP the full non-taxpayer MLE right now if he became free. So they're going to have to pay him to keep him, and that could potentially stick them in the second apron. And Kroenke just isn't famously known for paying the tax. Like, it's just not what he does. So I don't know if that decision is going to be made. It probably should be, like, as like respect for the game, respect for the fans, respect for like what the team accomplished. They should pay that guy. And they're not going to be under the second apron forever. Like, this time around in the CBA, they had the players in the league agreed to cap smoothing. So there's not going to be a giant cap spike at the next TV deal, but the cap is guaranteed to go up at least 10%, and it keeps on going. And like any cap increase that doesn't apply to that year rolls forward. And if the next TV deal is what we think it's going to be, there's going to be 5 years of rolling 10% cap increases for sure. So yeah. I think Denver should pay, because they're not going to have to pay for too long. And they'll be out of this before Jokic just passes prime. So I think, yeah, they definitely need to pay. Otherwise, they need to trade Jokic. Oh, no, I'm just fucking around. They'll figure it out, I'm sure. All right, that's going to do it for this one. Stay safe, my beautiful friends. This is me in the past saying stay safe, so hope you did. Next show will probably be either Thursday or Friday night. All right, talk to you later. Bye.